Today, I want to share with you about, I will share with some of the experience I've encountered, and why my topic today is God is on the move. Right? God is on the move. But turn to your neighbor and say, God is on the move. Okay, so before I share with you what's in my heart, shall we read the passage for today? Right, it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. So at the count of three, do me a favor, let us read this passage together. Okay, in the count of three, ready? 1, 2, 3. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessing. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So, for those who get baptized, I just want to encourage you, and also pray that this will not be the end, but the beginning, that you will continue to be a follower of Jesus Christ, that you will continue to shine for Him, that you will continue to be a disciple, and to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, and to help your friends, neighbors, to know how great our God is. And we do this because we believe God is on the move. He is always on the move to bring hope to the brokenness today. If you are coming here to church today, you come with a brokenness. I want you to know that run to Jesus. He is on the move to heal you, to restore you. God is on the move to bring revival, not just for Coos, but for the nation, but for individual. You know, a revival that will stir our hearts to love Jesus more. A revival that will help us to see that our life is more than this, that God has a purpose, God has a plan for each one of us. And so God is on the move to heal the sick. He's on the move to bring restoration. And He's on the move for one purpose: to bring salvation and save those who call upon His name. God is on the move with one very clear purpose: to save those who call upon His names. And because God is on the move today, you know, Coos, you and me, how should we prepare ourselves to run along with God? If we believe that God is on the move today, then how do we position ourselves in such a way that we are not running against the Word of God, but in the direction of God? And so how do we run this race God has set before you and me this evening? And first of all, I want to suggest to you, invest in the work of evangelism. Invest in the work of evangelism. Paul said that he was not someone who ran aimlessly, or fought like a boxer who boxed without aiming. He ran with a clear goal: to do anything good, to spread the gospel so that he could save some. So Paul is not someone who ran aimlessly. He has a very clear goal. The goal that God has set for him is to spread the gospel so that he could save some. Now, although Paul might not be a professional athlete — how many of us, you are athlete, you consider yourself athlete? I'm athlete before. I'm still. Alright? Only a few of us. What happened to the rest? Oh, scholar, huh? I think so, right? Alright? Now, Paul himself is not an athlete, but he understood the mindset of an athlete. You see, every athlete, they have a goal in mind. Every athlete have a goal in mind, and they train hard towards their goal. And most importantly, every athlete compete to win. No athlete I ever know, they train to lose a game. No, I have not met any athlete that's like that. They train so hard so that I lose a game. No, we train so hard so that we can win a game. In fact, the word athlete in Greek, it means the one who competes for a prize. We know this guy on the screen very well. We know him, and his name is Joseph, not Joseph Yu, right? Joseph Schooling, yeah? Joseph Schooling. We know him very well because he won the first ever gold Olympic medal for Singapore. We have never won any gold medal for Singapore before until Joseph Schooling. So I asked my mom, why my surname wasn't Schooling? Alright? I hope I can win the Olympic gold medal for Singapore as well. But maybe because I don't have the Schooling behind, I don't have a chance because my surname is Yu. So it's Joseph Yu. But I want us to know that Joseph Schooling didn't win the gold medal overnight. He didn't suddenly he woke up one day, you know, mom and dad, I want to go swimming. Next day, jump into the pool. And then next day, join the Olympic rally. And then he won the gold medal. It didn't happen like that. Joseph Schooling started with a dream. He has a goal. He wanted to be like his idol. The one that is standing beside him, right? What is his name? Michael? Phil, right? You all know him. That was his goal, his dream. He said, one day I'm going to be like this guy. So he started with a dream. He wants to be like him. And you know what? Dream without any exercise is called daydream. So Joseph Schooling is not someone who daydream. He has a dream. And what else? He put in effort. He trained hard to pursue that dream. And then on the actual day, on the day of competition, I can guarantee you, when he stood beside his idol, I can guarantee you, he's going to swim all out to win the gold. He invested everything. It's for this day, that one day, he could swim beside his idol and win the gold medal. Paul may not be someone, or I would say, might not have won any gold, any Olympic medal. Paul may not have won any Olympic medal before, but he has no doubt about him is that he is someone who finished well in God's Olympic game. Paul has one goal in mind. And he said in Acts 20:24, he said, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. And his assignment is to tell others about the good news and the wonderful grace of God. That is Paul's goal. And not just that he has a goal. He was determined. He was very, very determined to finish well. He wrote to his disciple Timothy before he died. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. So what does it mean when Paul says, I had kept the faith? What he means is that his goal was to remain faithful to Christ and preach the gospel till he see Christ come again. You know, friends, for you and me who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe that God has given us a goal, is to preach the gospel. You know, the last thing we want to see in our life is that we disqualify ourselves before crossing the finishing line. I have a short video to show us. Can we have a video?
Allison is bumped. Allison bumps into the Brazilian athlete, and that's what causes this botch.
This game, the U.S. women team, they was disqualified from the race because they dropped the baton. Allison was a third runner, and somehow, I think in miscalculation or for whatever reason, she dropped the baton and they lost the game. They got disqualified. I want to imagine they trained so hard. They trained years of training just for that day. And then that day, they didn't lose because they came in fourth, they came in fifth. They lost a game because they dropped the baton. Can you imagine the feeling? It's like, I don't know how to describe it. They must have felt very bad. You know, friends, Jesus has given you and me a clear command. We have read earlier, Matthew 28. We are all the disciples of Christ and we are commanded to go out into the world and preach the gospel. We are called to share the gospel to everyone as far as we can go till he comes again. And therefore I want to encourage you, my friends here, my brothers and sisters in Christ here, hold on to your baton tight. Hold on tight so that we will not drop it and disqualify ourselves. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't drop your baton. There are a few good things I want to encourage you. Why doing the work of evangelism is good for you. Now, these are some of the things I experience as I commit myself to do the work of evangelism. You know, when I start to do evangelism, when I start to get more involved in the work of evangelism, something changed in my life. What are some of the things that changed in my life? First of all, I learned to think less of myself and more of others. Because in order to reach out to others, I need to understand people. I need to know people. I need to learn how to put people, the interests of others first before me. And I need to learn how to find a common ground so that I can reach out to their needs. So that I can have something in common and share with them. I need to learn how to be more caring and sensitive towards them. You know, they always say, before you share, you must learn how to earn the respect from people. And to learn the respect from people, we must learn how to care and learn for people. So when I do the work of evangelism, I realize that I become more caring and more sensitive to what people's need. And I also realize that as I learn to evangelize, I also learn how to be humble before God and pray. Because evangelism is hard work. Evangelism is really hard work. Sometimes you can sow and sow and sow, and you got nothing in return. And bring people to know Christ is even harder. Do you know what I'm talking about? How many of us, you try to share gospel with people, and just the first time you share, and then the people say yes to you? How many of us encounter? No, right? Most of the time, they rejected you. Most of the time, they mock at you. Most of the time, they see you like a ghost. Oh, holy people coming. Then they try to run away from you. And you realize, you know, evangelism is really hard work. Bringing people to know Christ is even hard work. And I realized that, you know, to change people's hearts, the only way to go is to bend my knee and pray for them. And to keep praying for them. So when I learned to do evangelism, not just I learned to be more caring, I learned to humble myself and pray to God. I also learned, realized that I need to read more about Bible. I need to understand the Bible better. I went to theological school to study, many years ago. It's not because of ordination. I didn't go to Bible school because I want to get ordained. I went to Bible school because my ministry then, the youth ministry, was growing. And I have more and more youth, believers and non-believers, coming to my youth ministry. And they ask me many questions. And they like to love questions. And many times, I do not know how to answer them. And I felt that, you know, I can't go on like that. As a pastor, I may not be able to answer every question, but at least when they ask, I know how to answer some questions. And so because of that, I said to myself, I need to start to read the Bible. I need to take the word of God more seriously. So when I do evangelism, I realize that my interest in the word of God increase. I take the word of God more seriously. And so not just that when you do the evangelism, that your life will be transformed. Not just that you will love the Bible more. And not just that you will learn how to be humble and pray. Most importantly, you have a story to share. The man standing beside me was my ex-badminton coach. I think some of us have heard this story before. I think the first time when I came, did I share this story with you before? Yes? No. What happened? That means I've not been coming here to preach. That means I need to come here more often. Amen, huh? Alright, let me share quickly with you because of time, alright? Now, the man standing beside me, alright, he was my ex-badminton national coach. Before I came to KUS, God gave me a desire and a burden, prompting, alright, in my heart to reach out to this man. Not this man, yeah, this man, okay. But I lost his contact number, so I couldn't get him. But when I came to KUS, after one of the service, during my sharing, my preaching, I talk about my past as an ex-national badminton player. After my service, a lady came up and she asked me, Pastor, do you know my father? I said, who is your father? You know, there are so many fathers here. Say, my father is Wee Chun Seng. And when I heard the name, my jaw dropped because he was the man I was trying to reach out to. And so I immediately got his number, tried to contact him, and I got him, and I began to meet up with him. Every week, I met this man, my ex-national coach. Every week, I met up with him for tea and coffee and lunch, to sit down with him, to listen to his story. At the same time, I tried to share the gospel with him. And that was in February. In March, somewhere end of March, he decided to say the sinner's prayer and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. In May, he got baptized at Coos. In September, he got confirmed at Coos. In October, he passed away. It was a surprise to me. It was a surprise to his children. Both his children attend Coos. Because he looks okay. He doesn't look like someone that has illness, someone that's weak. He was okay. But the Lord took him home. But as I look back and reflect on what has happened, I could only thank God for his mercy and grace. And I began to believe that my coming to Coos is not by chance. But God knew his time and he refused to give up on him. I heard from his children, Kelvin and Kim. They told me that they have been trying to reach out to him for years, 3 to 4 years. And he almost died 4 times. But every time somehow he managed to come back. So they shared with me, they have been trying to reach out to him. But every time, whenever they ask him to consider Jesus, he will always tell them he's not ready. And I believe I'm probably the last runner God sends to give him a last chance to repent before his last lap on earth. And so through this, I learned that God is always on the move to save his people. He will keep doing it until the last lap is up. But I also learned that you might be the last runner for him. I'm the last runner for God. And so you never know. The person that you are called to share, you might be the last runner to share that gospel to that person. And so I want to encourage you, seize every opportunity. Whenever you have an opportunity to share the gospel, don't hesitate. Don't doubt about whether can I share it correctly. It doesn't matter. You just have to go to the person by faith, share the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. So whenever you're given the opportunity to share the gospel, seize the opportunity. Because you might be the last runner to save that person. Turn to your neighbor and say, seize every opportunity to share the gospel. So God is on the move. Because God is on the move, let us position ourselves by investing in the work of evangelism. And so first, we align according to the will of God by investing in the work of evangelism. Secondly, you need to train yourself to become an evangelist. Paul said, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. And Paul said that he continued to say, I discipline my body like an athlete and training it to do what it should. Nowadays, I realize gym is very popular. I just saw one gentleman just now earlier. He was with me. And I touched his muscle. Huge. And so I asked him, how often do you go to gym? He said to me, twice a week. I said, no wonder. Very huge, you know. Maybe for ladies, this is not what you want, right? You want a nice figure, nice shape. And I thought this is an in thing. A lot of people are going to the gym, some do the kind of kickboxing, I don't know what kind of dance is that, right? I don't know, but I play badminton, so yeah. So it's getting more and more popular. And some control their diets. Try to eat less. They discipline their body so that they will look slim. How many of us know it's Pastor Mike? Pastor Mark. Do you know who is Pastor Mark? Right? I told Pastor Mark, this program is not suitable for you. You do get it? Have you seen Pastor Mark before or not? You know him, right? He's too slim. I said, this program is not suitable for you. He should eat more. Why people train and discipline their body? Because we all know it very well. Without training, they cannot reach the goal. Likewise, for evangelism, you got to train how to be an evangelist. Many people refer to Billy Graham as a great evangelist. If you know who Billy Graham is. And many people refer him to as a great evangelist because when he preached, thousands of people gave their life to Jesus. In a stadium, when this guy preached, thousands of people ran to the front and gave their life to Jesus. And they said, this guy is an evangelist. But I want you to know, in the eyes of God, in the mind of God, he is only one of the evangelists. There were many evangelists who worked behind the scene. Those who brought their friends to the rally, they are the evangelists of God. Those who planted and sowed the seeds in the life of these people, they are the evangelists of God. And those who suffer for sharing the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, they are the evangelists of God. You are the evangelists of God. Each one of you here, you are an evangelist of God. We are called to be God's evangelists. Every one of us. Although God called every one of us to be His evangelists, we still need to invest our talent and train ourselves to become an evangelist God can use. In the Bible, there are five crowns awaiting for those who use their talent for the sake of the gospel. And these are the areas we can train together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, in the context, I'm not going to go in depth, in the context talking about godly life. So one area that you can train yourself is train yourself to be a godly person. Train yourself to be a godly example. Let the love of Jesus Christ practice honesty, practice integrity. Let the word of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the light of Jesus shine through your words and action. And you receive the crown of purity, the crown of imperishable crown, or the incorruptible crown. Train yourself to endure suffering for the sake of the gospel. When you endure yourself for the sake of the gospel, under persecution or rejection, you know, when someone rejected you because you shared the gospel, praise the Lord because you will receive the crown of life. That is found in Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. When you are waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ, you are waiting patiently, you are going through challenges in life, but you believe that when Christ returns, He will reward you. God is faithful to those who are faithful to Him. When you put your hope in the second coming of Christ, congratulations to you. You will receive the crown of righteousness. That is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. Some of us, I can see in our midst, you learn to serve others. You learn to care for others. You learn to encourage your friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. Congratulations to you. If you train yourself to serve, you will receive the crown of glory. That is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2 to 4. Today, if you bring someone to know Christ, if you bring someone to believe in Jesus Christ, if you share the gospel to someone, you will receive the crown of joy in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 19. So as you can see, evangelist is more than just someone who talk about gospel. You know, very often we thought that evangelist is someone who can talk about the gospel. It is true. We need to talk about the gospel. But as you can see here, evangelist is more than just that. He's not just someone who talk about the gospel. He is also someone who demonstrate the love of Christ in and through their lives. And we all can do that. You may not be someone who can preach the gospel very well. You may not be someone like our Pastor Daniel. Super high IQ. His kind of Bible knowledge, not many of us can reach there. But that's his talent. But I'm sure every one of us here, we can show love, we can show care. We can do that. And so where's the best place to start the training? Where do you start that, the training of that evangelistic skill? Not outside in the world, friends. Here. This is the best place to start. Because in this place, there are all kinds of people. The person sitting beside you may be the someone that you are praying, this will be the last time you want to sit with this person. But because you are a good Christian, so you must pretend and laugh at the person. But your heart, you're saying, today I'm very sweet sitting beside you, you know. In our church, we have all kinds of people because we're imperfect people. So what's the purpose of community, my friends? Why are we here? Why God put us together? For one reason, we all learn how to love. We all learn how to care. Not just loving people that we love, but we learn how to love people that we don't really love them. But we learn to love them because this is the love of Christ. So that's the reason why we are here together. We are actually sharpening each other how to be a good evangelist. Because a lot of people think evangelism means it's for the people outside of the church. And so we don't really evangelize to the people in our church. We think that everyone sitting around here, more or less, they hear the gospel, therefore they don't need to hear the gospel anymore. My friend, it's not true. The person beside you might be going through something very difficult, might be going through something very tough, and in he or she, at the moment, he needs to hear the gospel again. That those who call upon the name of the Lord, they will find their salvation in Jesus Christ. So we often think the gospel is for people outside. No. Sometimes we need to preach the gospel to one another. And we need to keep doing that to continue to preach the gospel to one another so that we may continue to encourage and stir one another in our love for Jesus Christ. When the community learn how to love one another, in this place, I can guarantee you, wherever you go, you will know how to share the love of Christ. Whether it's in school, at home, you will learn how to show the love of Christ. So this is the best place, my friends, to learn how to sharpen our skill to be an evangelist. What I'm saying to us today, don't just love people that you love. We must learn to love everyone. And trusting God that by doing that, God is shaping each one of us to be His evangelist. Because when we know how to love the people here, when we go outside, we will know how to love them as how God has loved us. So train yourself to be evangelist. And last but not least, God is on the move. We want to position ourselves, align ourselves, investing in the work of evangelism. God is on the move. We want to equip ourselves to become evangelists. Last but not least, run to win the prize for His glory. Paul says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. I love Paul a lot, and he has been my hero. Someone that whenever I'm down, I will look to him as my someone who will encourage me to keep me running for the Lord. You see, Paul, he's someone that who runs not for his own glory. He runs to win the prize for the glory of God. How many of you were at the futsal game? Put up your hand. I saw some of you. Don't bluff, okay? I saw a lot of young people. Yeah, put your hand high up, okay? Because of you guys, I got injuries. Because of you guys, yeah, dude. We got bullied. All right, next time we're badminton, okay? Now, I signed up for the game for fellowship, and I was put to join this team called the Combined Team. And it's really a combined team because within the team, all right, we have some really, really, very young players, probably like 12, 13, 14. And then we have some really, very old player, all right, who are almost at the stage of retirement. So it's a very very wide range of players. I'm somewhere in the middle, all right. And when I look at the team, I say, oh my God, how are we going to win, man? I look at some of us. You play like a professional. The way you kick, your speed. I say, oh God. You know, how are you going to win the game? You know what? We didn't lose heart. Just because we are old, we fought hard. We play like Caleb and David. Alright? And we see them as our enemy. Some use pebble. Some will climb over them. We use all we can All right, to defeat our giants. And we believe in God, all things are possible. And we fought very hard. And by the grace of God, you won't believe the outcome of the game. We came in last. Hey, my friends, we didn't lose a game. If you think we have lost a game, we didn't lose a game. You know why? Because we were all out trying to be obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ's command. Because Jesus said, the last shall be... Yeah, that's right, okay? So you think we have lost? No, alright, we were trying to obey to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of the winners, they got some shopping vouchers. And we are very happy for them. And I want you to know that the vouchers were also part of our combined team contribution. Because the Bible says, it is more blessed to give and to receive. So we give them the voucher. And so we didn't lose the game, alright? So those who won the game, alright, I'm very happy for you. But I want you to know, the combined team didn't lose the game. We want to obey to our Lord Jesus Christ's command. And the best part about this competition is this, alright? The champion will get a trophy. And they will take picture. So I thought they will keep the trophy after that. Then I saw the chairman came forward and say, oh, you know, after the picture, please return me back the trophy. I need it for next year. Although it was just some shopping vouchers and fighting for a trophy that they cannot keep, I saw the team, every player, they fought with all their hearts and mind and soul, right? I think even harder when they worship God in church. They fought with all their hearts, mind and soul to win the game. All out. So friends, how much more for those who belong to the Lord like you and me? We are not running for something that is perishable, but the imperishable crown, the eternal prize. How much more should we run for the Lord when we know that the prize you're receiving is not something that's perishable, but imperishable? I want to give us three reasons as we come to a close of why you should run all out for the glory of God. And the first reason I want to encourage you, my friends, run all out for the glory of God because the faithful will be rewarded. A true story. In Barcelona 1992 Olympic, Derek Redmond was the hot favorite to win the 400 meter gold. And during the semi-final, at the start of the round, pang, and he ran, and at the 150 meter mark, Derek Redmond suddenly squat down. The face is like in pain, because he tears his hamstring. Even though he was in pain, he refused to give up. He wanted to finish the race, so he keep hopping with one leg, and hop. And hop, and hop. He kept hopping. And when he was tired, he stopped, he squat down, he stood up again, and hop again. Suddenly a man from the crowd, in the midst of the crowd, ran forward, running towards him. And when the security guard saw him, they tried to stop him. But this man pushed the guard aside, pushed the security guard aside, insisting on running towards Derek. That man was his father. And when he held on to his son, the son cried. He told his son, you don't have to do this, my son. But the son said to him, Dad, I must finish the race. With tears on his face. And so the dad carried his hand, put over his shoulder, he carried Derek, his son, and started to run with him. Slowly, Derek was hopping, but the father ran with him. And at the last few meters, he let go of his son so that Derek could finish his race. Although Derek missed the goal, he won the cheer of thousands of people on that day. thousands of people stood up and cheered for him. And his story, even till today, continue to remain as an inspired story for those who feel like give up in the race. His story will be used to help those people. In the Olympic, only those who come in first, second, third will win the prize. But in the kingdom of God, the Olympic in the kingdom of God, God is seeking out for those who runs faithfully. Maybe some of us friends, you are hurt today, you're coming to church. You're coming to church in brokenness. Maybe something along your way disappointed you. Maybe you're disheartened by your results. Maybe you're discouraged by your friends. Something is distracting you. And you're coming to church with a heavy heart. You feel like giving up. You feel like stopping coming to church. You feel like stopping praying to God. Maybe some of us have been trying to reach out to your friends for many years and there's no result. You are disheartened. You feel like giving up or reaching out to that person. I want to encourage you, press on. Stand firm. Remain faithful. Even you have to hop. You hop till you finish the race. Even you have to crawl. You crawl till you finish the race. Even you just have to sit there and rest so they can continue to run the race. Rest and then keep running the race. Because God the Father promised you and me, He will never leave you alone. He will empower you just like the Father who helped His Son to finish the race. Our Father in heaven, He will run to you. He will rush to you. He will put your hands over His shoulder and He will carry you and run with you together. Even you have to hop, He will hop with you till you finish the race. God is faithful. He who has finished, He who has began His good work in you, begin in you, He will make sure it comes to completion. Press on. Don't give up. Keep running. The second reason I want to encourage you to run all out for the glory of God is that we sow in pain, but we will reap in joy. I want to show you the next photo. This picture, they are my parents, handsome dad, beautiful mom. Just that he lost a bit hair. He used to have more hairs. My father was a medium, I shared with you before. But over the years, for 20 over years, I've been trying to reach out to my dad. For 20 over years, I've seen how the Lord has transformed him from someone who has a very hardened heart, hard like a rock, hard like a stone. Whenever I talk about Christianity, he will talk, he will either scold me, or he will throw the rock at me, or he will criticize about Christianity. From someone who is so, the heart is so hard towards God, today, I saw another man whose heart is so willing to open to our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 months ago, the Lord spoke to me, to my heart. He said, Joseph, it's time for you to share with your, it's time to share the gospel with your father. Now, it was a surprise to me because I always thought it's easier to get my friends, my, as a pastor, my colleague, who share the gospel with him rather than his own son. But my God said to me, no, I want you to go. And I want you to know that your father's heart is ready. So by faith, I shared with my wife and I said to my wife, you know, in obedience, I said, you know, this is what the Lord has put in my heart. Let's do it by faith. And so we went. I called my parents, you know, say, you know, can we bring you out for dinner? And they very happy. They went out with us. So we went out for dinner. They saw over the dinner. We talked about many things. And so for some of us, you're trying to reach out to your parents. Don't just always preach the gospel. You need to show love. You need to demonstrate love to them also. Learn to listen to them. So we listened to his story and we talked. Now I was a little bit panicked, but I just put my trust in the Lord. And so after the dinner, we brought them home and then I said to my parents, you know, Dad, Mom, today can I say a prayer of blessing for you? Now I never done that before. But I said, Dad, can I do that for you? And to my surprise, my dad said, yes, I will, please pray for us. But before I can pray the blessing As usual, he must share his story. So I have to listen to his story again for about half an hour. Then when he's tired, I say, Dad, can I bless you now? He said, yes. So I pray a blessing over them. Then after that, I took up the courage and I shared with my dad why I would like him to become a Christian. My desire for him to become a Christian. I didn't really share with him John 3:16. I didn't take out my Bible and try to tell him, you know, to explain to him what the Bible is saying inside, because I know at that point, this is not something that he's very interested. So I share with him my desire. I tell him how much I love him and why I want him to become, why I want him to believe in Jesus Christ. And to my surprise, I thought he would just say no. To my surprise, and to the surprise same to my wife as well, he said to us, ultimately, I will follow your faith. I do not know who Jesus is, but I trust you, because I could see God living in you and your wife. Now this was really a surprise to us. I never knew that my dad was observing me. I never knew that my dad was watching me. So I thank God. I do my best to, you know, to do my best and to be a good example. I definitely made a lot of mistakes along the way. I think a lot of things by the grace of God. But I didn't know that he was watching me. And so when he said that to me, he said, ultimately, I will follow Jesus. You know, there was such a joy in my heart at that point. There were a lot of tears when I heard that. There was this joy burning in my heart that no words can be described, but only can give thanks to God and say, how great you are, O God. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. 20 over years of labor, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. So some of us here, if you have been praying for your parents, praying for a loved one, may I encourage you, don't quit. Keep sowing the seed of love. Keep doing your best to strive for Jesus. You will reap in pain, in tears, you will sow in tears, but you will reap in joy one day. So remain faithful. And the last reason, as I close, I want to ask to why we run all out for the glory of God. We run all out for our Lord Jesus Christ because he has given us his all. Christ gave his life, his all to you and me. Christ gave his life by dying on the cross for our sin. He gave his life to suffering, in shame. He gave his life, he gave his all for all of us. And because he gave his all for all of us, this afternoon we are sitting here to worship him and to praise him. Because Jesus gave his all for us. God the Father did not hold back as well. He also gave his all for us by giving his one and only precious Son, Jesus Christ. He gave his all for us to save us, that today we may worship him. Today that we may know that he loves us. Today that we may know that our Father in heaven, that he's great and he loves us. And we run to win. We run all out to win because we know and we believe that God who began a good work in you and me, he will give his all to help us to finish our race until we see Jesus again. In the Olympic, doesn't mean that you train hard, you will win the medal. Because only some of them will win the medal. Bo pao jia wan, the Hokkien say. But in God's kingdom, in God's Olympic game, there is a promise. That all who run for him, when we run for him with our hearts, is a sure win. You will receive the crown. You know, as I look at this, I was thinking, what is it like when I finish my race on earth? And when in heaven right now, what is it like if I finish my race? Will there be a grand podium for me to stand up and receive the crown? And so I was thinking, will there be a podium there? And I found in Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 to 11, not the whole verses, just the two verses. Listen to this. What is happening in heaven? In Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 to 11, okay, the two verses. We saw the 20 elders fall down and cast their crowns before God and the Lamb upon His throne. So what we see in heaven is not a podium. We saw the elders, actually, when they saw Jesus, they actually fell down and cast their crowns before God, the Lamb upon His throne. So instead of receiving the crowns from God, they actually laid out their crowns to the one with many crowns. You see, my series. I think this is what it's like when we run faithfully for the Lord. I just give you an imagination. Try to imagine with me, alright? Try to imagine with me, okay? Imagine that today you have done your part on earth, you have finished your race, and you arrive in heaven right now. So you're in heaven, you know, what's gonna happen? I think the first thing, probably you will see all the angels waiting for you, and they will clap. And they'll welcome you. Welcome home. Welcome home. Titus. Welcome home. Tina. Welcome home. Sam. Welcome home. And the angels, they will play what you call the harp. The trumpet. And clap. They will dance and welcome home. So there will be joy and celebration when they see you. And as you walk through the crowd of the angels, the next one, you arrive the hall of faith. And as you enter the hall of faith, you see crowds of people standing on your left and on your right. And as you walk through the crowd of people, they look at you. Some will smile at you. Some they clap their hands. Some they'll take thumbs up. You know, these are the people who have invested their life in you. So they are there to cheer you and say, you are well done. You have done a good job. These are the people who will share the gospel with you. And so after you pass the first crowd, you went into the second crowd. And this time, you see people smiling at you. You see people in tears. And they say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you see people's face of gratitude, gratefulness. These are the people whom you have invested your life in them. These are the people whom you have shared the gospel with them because of what you do for them, because you share the gospel with them, and therefore today they are celebrating with you together in heaven. So when they see you, they smile with a heart of gratitude, tears, maybe some of them, and say, thank you for sharing the gospel with me. But of course, how long the crowd will be will depend on how many people you reach out to. So don't make sure the train of crowd too short. Make sure you invest your life to a lot of people. Make sure that you have long lines of crowd waiting for you, cheering for you, and clap for you. And now, after you walk through the angels, and then you walk through the people who have invested in your life, and then the people whom you have invested in their life, now you're walking before the throne. Standing before the throne, the glory of God, Jesus Christ, sitting on the right hand of the Father. What will you do when you see Jesus? I tell you what you will do. When you see Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, there's no need for a podium. You will not desire for a podium, but you will kneel like the elders, you will bow like the elders, you will lay your crown before Jesus Christ. Why? Because the greatest honor in heaven is Jesus Christ Himself. The one who is crowned with many crowns. He is the one and He is the man that we are running the race for. He is the one that why we share the gospel. He is the one that why we show love to others. He is the one that why we forgive others. He is the one that we suffer for the sake of the gospel. He is the one. The one who is crowned with many crowns, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the ultimate price Paul was eyeing for. Paul was not eyeing for the crown that Jesus can give him. He was not just running for his own glory, to receive the crown for his own. Paul ran to win the praises of one who is crowned with many crowns, Jesus Christ. And he did it because God's love compels him. He did it because without Jesus, he's nothing. He said, without Jesus, I am nothing. I am who I am. Lord, it's because of you. Who I am today is because of you. And today I run for you. You have changed my life. And he did it because he was convicted that there's no salvation but the name of Jesus. So my friends, we have many goals in life. Whether it's your certificate, whether it's your career, whether it's your car. We have many goals in life. But I want you to know that those goals that you have on earth, they are perishable. It cannot carry with you to heaven. It cannot go with you to heaven. Therefore, you must aim for the highest prize. To win the praises of the one who gave his all for you. To win the praise of the one who loves you. To win for the praises of the one who gave his life for you. To win the praise of the one when you are down, he is there with you. To win the praises of the one when you're in brokenness, he is there to restore you. He is there to help you. He is there with you. To win to the one, the presence of the one, when you feel inadequate, when you feel that you cannot make it, he is the one who stands beside you and encourage you and keep you running. Win the praises of the one who gave his all for you. Set your goal today, my friends. Let his glory be our greatest reward. Let the praises of Christ be our greatest reward. Because, friends, Jesus deserves it all. If there's one person that deserves of everything in our life, he is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. So may you stand with me, friends. I want to encourage us. I think it's okay to have many goals in life. There are many things we want to pursue. But I also want you to know, you need to ask yourself, those things that we're pursuing, it's not that they are no good, it's not that they're not important, it's not that, you know, we cannot have them. It's a blessing from God. It's a blessing that God has given to us. It's all right to have them. But we don't want to come to a point to believe or to pursue for something that we know one day will perish. And when you go to heaven, you have nothing to offer to God. You will go to heaven because of your faith in Jesus. But you have nothing to offer to God. Because your whole life, you are running for your own goal. You are running for your own glory. And when you see Jesus, you have nothing to offer. I want to challenge us today, my friends. Set yourself a higher goal. Win the prize, the praises of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be your goal in everything that you do. Let that be something deep in your heart and mind and say, in everything that I do, there's only for one cause. It's to win the praises of my Lord Jesus Christ. He said, on that day when I see Jesus face to face, I see a smile in Jesus. And I'm here, my Lord, my Savior, the one who's sitting at the right hand of God, the God of the universe, when He look at me and He can say to me, you are my good and faithful servant. Come. You have run your race well. And I believe this is your desire. This is what you are pursuing today. So would you today set your goal, say that in your heart, I will run the race for Jesus. And my prize is to win the praise of my Lord Jesus Christ. Because He deserves it all. He is worthy of it all. And only Jesus alone, He alone deserves my life. So shall we just sing these songs prayerfully in our hearts? As we sing, may I ask you to sing deep in your heart and say to our Lord Jesus Christ, you are worthy of it all.
Day and night, night and day, let Him send to rise. You are worthy of it all. to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of the Lord. You are worthy of the Lord. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory.
In closing, just want to pray for some of us here. You may be seated for a while. It's just a show of hands. How many of us in our midst, your parents, they are not a Christian yet, and you've been praying for them, or some of the adults, maybe sibling, they are not a Christian yet, and you're praying for them. Maybe some of us can be your grandmother, your grandfather, they're not a Christian yet, and you're praying for them. Your loved ones, basically. Can you have a show of hands? How many of us, your parents are not a Christian yet, and you have been praying for them? Put up your hands high, right? Siblings that you know, they're not Christian yet, so you want to pray for them. Or maybe some of the cousins, relatives that you know, they're not Christian yet, you want to pray for them. All right, those who put up your hands, may I invite you to stand? You stand? Yeah, just stand. Just stand, yeah, just stand. All right. I want to pray for you. And I believe God is on the move. God is on the move. And I want you to believe that. And I want to encourage you. That God loves those who you love more than you. He wants to reach out to them more than you. He is already ahead of you. He is already in the midst of working. But we don't give up. We press on. We trust Him and we believe in Him. Alright? So I just want to ask those who stand up, probably just pray for that person right now. Alright, call them by names and then dedicate the names to the Lord. As the incense go up, you come down. So that prayer is unto the Lord, and believe that as you dedicate your prayer, commit their names to the Lord is going to respond and open their hearts to receive Him. Alright? So is that okay? Alright, so where you are, call them by names. Pray for them by names. The rest of us who are sitting, may I encourage you to do something? Go to the person beside you and pray for them. Right? Just go, move around and pray for them right now, alright? Let's pray. Let's cry out to the Lord. The Lord is here. Let's cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we surrender all the names, our loved ones, into your hand. Father, you know who they are. You know where they are right now. Father, would you speak to them? Lord, would you touch their hearts? Would you cause them, Lord, to humble themselves before you? Would you, Lord, if there's any obstacle or hindrances that's holding them back from knowing you, Lord Jesus, we want to pray, God, Lord, will you not just to clear the obstacles, but Father, Lord, that you will help them to walk through the obstacles? Then nothing, oh God, will stop them from coming to know you, Jesus. Lord, you know their situation better than us. And so, Father, we commit them into your hand, oh God. We pray, Father, would you, Lord, touch their lives? Oh Lord, hold them to you, oh God, until they respond to your gospel. Hold them to you, oh God, until they say yes to you, oh God. Lord, hold them to you. Hold them to you, oh God. Hold them on, Father, until, Lord, they say yes to you. Lord, today, this is our prayer. This is our prayer for them, oh Lord. And help us not to be discouraged, but help us, oh Lord, empowered by your Holy Spirit, that we'll continue to sow the seed of love. We'll continue to pray and we'll continue to wait. Yes, Lord, we might sow in pain, oh God, in tears. But Lord, we know that you are faithful. We will reap in joy. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, for your words today. Thank you, Lord, for assuring us that you are faithful. For assuring us, oh Lord, that every one of them that were given to you, they are precious to you, they are important to you, and you love them, and you want to reach out to them. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, and we look forward, oh God, to hear stories, miracles, and glory, you know, of the things that you have done, oh Lord, to be a testimony and encouragement to many of us. So, Father, thank you. Thank you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just one more last thing, alright, before we have a closing songs. I just want us, for the rest of us, I just want us to think of five names. Maybe you already have it. Think of five names, five friends that you want to reach out to this year for the Lord. Five names that you have, you know, in your mind, someone that you're close to, someone that you know that you want to reach out to them for our Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, can you commit yourself to these five people? Pray for them daily. Pray for them daily. And then also find time to meet up with them, to catch up with them, to love them, to sow the seed of love every day. Every day do your best and pray that God will always create opportunity for you to meet up with them, create opportunity for you to share the gospel with them. Is that alright? Okay, so just think of five names. Alright, very quickly give you 1 minute, 5 minutes to think about it. Who are the five people you want to reach out to? And you want to commit them to the Lord? Okay, is that alright? Okay, five names and then just quickly go into prayer. Just take 1 minute to do that. And then we have a closing song. Okay, 1 minute, five names you want to reach out to and then pray to the Lord. These five names that God has put in your heart. Okay, take a minute. Let's start now. 1 minute, I'll be your timekeeper. You have 10 more seconds. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Praise the Lord. Okay, my time is faster than the normal clock, okay? Alright, we're going to end this time. We're going to sing this song, The Great Awakening. We're going to believe that God is going to bring a revival to this nation. We're going to believe that there will be a great awakening. Lives will be touched. Life will be transformed. People will learn to love each other like how Jesus has loved us. That's going to be a great awakening. I'm going to believe in it. Alright? Is that okay? I only some. Are we ready for that? Are we praying for the great awakening? Alright. Let's turn our hearts. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, there's going to be a great awakening.
Let your sons and daughters speak your words of prophecy. Send us dreams and visions. Reveal the secrets of your heart, Lord. There's gonna be a great awakening. There's gonna be a great revival in our land. There's gonna be a great awakening.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. There's a quote that I like that says, good art serves to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. I think this is what the gospel and the word of God do to our hearts. When the word is preached today, something in your heart will have stirred. Either you are comforted or you are disturbed. And either of the above, we respond to the Lord. Let's put your hands on our hearts. God, we don't just want to sing about an awakening. We want to see it in our lives. So Father, first we pray for our hearts that there will be an awakening in our spirits. That if any of our hearts are slumbering to you, to your voice, to your purpose, God, awaken us. Awaken us. Awaken us. That we will not be found slumbering. In the time of your visitation, in the time of your purpose, let your church not be slumbering. I will not be slumbering. Say that to yourself. And I want you to see this picture of God's hand with a baton coming to you. Would you take it? And if that is your response to the Lord, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. In your mind, you simply take hold of the baton that he's passing to you. The baton of your testimony, the baton of his testimony of the gospel. Would you take it and hold it tightly and pass it on? Father, would you forgive us when we have dropped your baton? When we have not held it tightly? When we have not cherished it, we ask for your forgiveness. And God, we say to you that we want to cherish your gospel. We cherish the person that you are. So awaken every heart in this room and those who could not be here today, that we would be a church who rise up to your purpose. Lord, we lift up our loved ones to you, someone's friend, someone's brother, sister, mother, father, and so forth. Would you come to stir in their hearts and bring about such an awakening in their spirits as well, that they no longer stand in any form of darkness, but they see you and they know you. We cannot preach to them and have they turn to you if not for your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we ask of you to do the work that men cannot do. We rely on you and we honor the person that you are. I want to speak to perhaps one or two of you here specifically who do not know Christ. Perhaps you were born, in a Christian family. Perhaps you are a friend today. And there's something in you that is stirring. Often when I speak to non-Christians who are curious, they say that when I come to church or I hear something in my heart stirring, I don't understand. Like my future mother-in-law, when she stepped into church, she always find herself crying. I don't know why. She also don't know why. So I want to explain to you that if you do not know Jesus, but somehow in your heart, there is a strange tugging. And there is a curiosity. Somehow you feel touched, not because of the music or because of words. I want to say to you to consider that this is the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And this is part of God's way of calling you to consider His reality. And if that is you, and somehow you want to know more about Christ, or you want to give your life to Jesus today, can I urge you to talk to one of us in front, or tell the friend who has brought you? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word given to us today. Help us to cherish your word. As we move on from this place, God, I pray for your blessing on each one of us here, that we will have open eyes to see the harvest around us and ears that are inclined to your heart to hear what you have to say to us. So let your blessing of your fellowship dwell with each one of us as we go from here as well. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. Amen. Shall we just thank the Lord for his word? And Let us also thank Pastor Joseph for preaching to us. We will have him back very, very often. To all the family and friends of baptism candidates, we invite you for a meal, a Thanksgiving meal. It's actually outside in the atrium, so feel free to bring yourself out. Next week, we have Siuli from Timor sharing with us. So come, bring a friend, come with expectant hearts, okay? See you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.